enough.
Okay, so.
We're waiting for you to like give us a prompt. Why
oh,
are we here?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Josh, do you have anything?
We're prompting you for a prompt.
We were just gonna ask.
Oh yeah, I was. There's a number of different contexts people have brought up for this discussion, so I was wondering what we were doing.
Clarity on what we're actually doing.
Yep.
I guess for me, this came out of an impulse, being like, oh, we saw a few things in some of the prototypes that were. Capabilities common to every prototype, and that was interesting that kind of organically happened. It feels like it's wants to point in direction. I don't know, okay, what are those capabilities, and hopefully those will bring us to what we'll actually like have to make in the new system. So Toby wrote up a bunch of stuff that were capabilities of everyone's things, which I have printed out here, which is amazing. And I feel like it's a good start. And mostly my thing is just to get us all in like, okay, here's some of the stuff. Do we want to build this? Is this good? Like, maybe we'd like something different. You could sit there with the whiteboard there. You could sit in the corner and... So yeah, it's more of an impulse rather than a...
Sure.
I think the fact that Toby was able to make this list was a pretty good start, and we could just, like, match up some of the items from this list.
I guess I want to call out that one thing we could do would be on the more technical side of let's look for common capabilities that we want to pull out and make sure we keep in mind what we have stories for. I got the sense though that one of the things that was brought up as we were doing the wrap up was less technically minded and more seeing commonalities in what people were actually trying to sort of build. That there was like a higher level relationship between them, but I don't know if there's something useful to pull out of that. But it does seem different than just looking at the capabilities.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. Like the idea of like a projected photo that you can then like or a printed out photo that you can interact through, like point to things in the photo, seemed to cut across what a lot of people were saying, and a number of things like that. Or less kind of about this and more about just kind of similar concepts.
The photo standing in for something else, whether that something else is a physical thing or a digital thing or a hybrid thing. The idea of a photo as a snapshot of physical state and digital state. Associating.
Oh yeah, we're talking about links.
Yes, there's a lot of linking going on. Right? So there's the Times links. There are the links in the academic papers. Are there links in yours?
I guess it's not really. It's like
it was
you're mentioning
stand-ins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like you're mentioning a reference and you want to pull up that reference. It's kind of like you're accessing the link.
But that's the same thing I was talking about. You open the page and like the thing shows up.
It's kind of a more implicit kind of. It's the ability to pull up references that aren't necessarily explicitly the object.
Oh, all
right.
What are
you thinking about? Right. Like you're thinking these links were like. automatically associated potentially with this, or does it matter? Like, if he explicitly put, like, this prototype in this page or something, does that feel different than, like, automatically bringing up this prototype when it sees content in this page or something?
I think it's related.
Yeah, I can already see that there's a lot of interesting subtlety about links. Like, if you like, some links are kind of references to live objects. So if the object changes, we think of the link as changing with it. But we also like the idea that when you take a picture with a camera, maybe you're actually storing a reference to a snapshot back in time. So there's just like this whole multidimensional space of what links can be, and that's gonna be something to figure out.
I mean, related to links, there's also, I think almost everyone had a notion of a document. whether it's like, and a document here is kind of, especially Toby's, is kind of an interesting one, because it's not just like one thing necessarily. It's like a thing that you can sort of carve up into different things, make that into its own thing, put that thing on the thing of things, and like kind of assembling and collecting all of this stuff. And I saw that, too, in Brett's notebook, I think, of, like, there are these different documents, and there's, like, references from here into, like, these were documents about bring up the dynamic one or something. Or the dynamic one.
And that you're, and that you can capture the whole thing that you did, but that, if the binder related to what Toby was doing of, like, grabbing a whole bunch of collages and then making that into a whiteboard, kind of creating a new work, a derivative work from assembling parts of existing works.
And having all of those referenced, like, thinking about the whiteboard, like, putting them all on the whiteboard for a presentation, that was really interesting. Like, that anyone could later go back up to those and be like, oh, where did this come from? And, oh, I can grab this and make a copy or put it on my presentation, or put in a binder or whatever. That's interesting.
Maybe we should have done this the day of, because I'm feeling like I've forgotten a lot of this, or I should have like reviewed it or something.
Yeah, I'm feeling that a little bit too.
Yeah.
What are these pictures?
Why are you pointing at the ground?
then again, we probably pushed it off partially because we spent, you know, 3 or 4 hours and we were probably pretty exhausted.
That's a long day, but that's fine. I mean, we could also just, like, do that right now. Like, review, wait, what is all this stuff again? Which might be helpful because there's a lot of it, I think.
I'd be up for that. Just, like, a 30-second swap run through your thing.
Okay.
I'll start.
Okay.
These are mine. And so, I had a binder which had all of the history of this project, and I put a few blank pieces of paper out on the table as kind of work pages.
Oh, that was a common theme. It's blank pieces of paper that got augmented. That showed up in Heim's and in mine.
Mm.
Maybe not in mine.
Well, you're kind of putting
these
things.
Other things.
You're putting these onto a table, which is maybe you're going to the blank piece of paper.
Yeah, and there is, like, Glenn's blank floor. It's like finding
the container.
Finding places to, like, put the virtual stuff, right? Like, it needs to be somewhere physically.
Yeah, there's some surface which acts as a container.
Mm-hmm.
A canvas or a workspace.
Oh, that was already helpful. You said, like, 5 words. And
yeah, so I put on my blank paper and my binder. I open up to the binder that has an active photo in it. So it's a photo of dynamic objects that captured the entire state of the system. And when I bring that, when I project that onto this paper, it actually starts simulating that simulating the system from that point, and I can interact with it via, like, through the paper. And then I turn to a different page in the binder and have some code. I point to that code and I start running it on this piece of paper, and I can kind of move that around, and as that'll just kind of keep running on that piece of paper, and I can go through like past code and try things out I might have forgotten. Another piece of paper, or another page in the binder, was reference to an article, a link, basically. And so I bring the link up on, projected on this piece of paper. If it looks interesting, then I, you know, say print and becomes a hard copy, which then I can just put down and replace the virtual projection. And then at the end, I can take a photo of the whole shebang, put it into the binder, and now I've kind of added a... added these virtual references to the things that were out on the table into the binder, and hopefully other people can kind of take stuff out of the binder and mess around with it, take their photos, and kind of accumulate their thoughts in the binder.
Sweet. I was going to say the it's a lot of the stuff we did on paper, and it, like, if everything sort of emphasized the, like, the convenience of, like, moving the material.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, paper's light, Haim's notebook is, like, perfectly sized to fit in his bag.
Yeah.
It's a little bit. Yeah, like, this thing, I wanted it to be sort of index card sized, because that's, like, easy to create an arrangement of pictures if they're about that size. And this jam also felt, as I mentioned, like, more intimate with the material.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, as Elm would say, more like a guitar than a pipe organ.
Your work involves moving things around with your hands as opposed to pointing things that are far away.
Mm. I was thinking about this snapshot, and all of these things are also those objects. Like, you can point to those and inspect those, and it kind of reminded me of the thing you were doing in this middle picture where, like, you had highlighted just this object in this paper, and that felt like this could now be an object that you could do stuff with, just kind of different than like this virtual paper or something, which feels right now like a, it's like, what can I do with this? It's just like a, right now, a projection, and maybe you could imagine each of those things could be objects, like the header could be an object, or all the stuff on that page could be an object too, not just like one. Like, in here, the object is the piece of paper rather than this kind of stuff. And that was, felt like a little bit of a recurring thing, especially with Toby's, like, the figures in a paper and then the collage of the figures. And
like, the objects have sub-objects.
Yeah.
The content has structure.
Yeah, yeah.
A joke which I was going to make during the jam, when we were looking at some picture of something, and it was clear that sometimes maybe we want to talk about the picture, sometimes we want to talk about an object that's in the picture. You know, we could have objects in that. I was thinking, oh, and of course we'll use Sketch's selection system for drilling down into
mm-hmm.
sub-objects of objects or whatever, apparatus style. But it does seem like we want to be able to make references to things that, this whole hierarchy of parents and children. I don't know if that's the right metaphor, but yeah.
Or it brings up a question I have, which is, like, what things end up being objects in a new system versus what things are just kind of...
And that's what was really tripping me up when I was trying to think about how you'd actually implement Toby's thing, because, you know, there's, like, this kind of object, and then there's kind of traditional object-oriented, like, document processing, desktop publishing kind of thing, where
like
you have, like... Yeah,
like,
or even individual characters or
yeah.
objects. And you want people to reference things at that level, but you also want to be able to talk about the physical things you can move around.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're doing a lot of this on paper. I don't know,
exactly what I'm saying about that, though. I guess part of it is, like, the flatness of it, but also the, like, paper feels like a good stand-in for just, like, a thing you can throw around. And I'm wondering, R is a more technical question than I get right now, but, like, could these stand in for iPads is, I guess, a question I have. Like, should that be an iPad? Like, and getting, I guess this is more about the iPad, the object question, but, yeah, I do wonder about that. Like, do we want, that's a concrete question I have, like, is something being projected on a blank page? Is that,
yeah,
is that how we envision it, or?
I mean, I think, like, certainly in this case, we're just lying on the desk, they could be iPads, but I'm kind of imagining that you have these, but you, like, put them in a stack, or you, like, pin them to the wall, or you give them to somebody, and you kind of can be more fluid with these containers in the way that you can't really with iPads. So that's why I'm imagining them as projected things.
Yeah, I don't, that feels like more of a implementation detail or something, but it's something I think about when I see this.
Well, yeah, I feel that if they were kind of these precious iPad things, then it would kind of lead to these dead ends in the interfaces we'd make, where we wouldn't make something that involves, like, putting stuff on the wall, or, you know, cutting it out with scissors, or you know, writing on it with a pen, or stapling things together, like all this stuff you can do in the, like, with physical material that you, it's just kind of hands off with that. It's not allowed on an iPad.
I'd also say that we want to be able to, the thing about paper is that you can have, like, O of N papers, but you can only really have O of one iPads. What I mean is, like, if you're dealing with, you know, if, whatever the domain is that you're dealing with, if you've got, like, a whole bunch of characters in your story or a whole bunch of papers that you're researching, like, papers kind of scales up with the domain, but it's hard for me to imagine in practice iPads scaling up with the domain. You can have a file full of tons and tons of papers.
Yeah. Right now, it's hard to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, of course, we'll have, you know, an infinite number of iPads. Maybe not in the next year or two.
Maybe another common theme is the containers of paper. So you've got a binder, you've got a Times notebook, and then there's a drawer and glass.
And then I guess you could even think of the paper itself as a container for, you know, this word, the text and the pictures and that kind of thing,
uh-huh.
Which is, you know, your thing, you're addressing those things by highlighting them and excerpting them.
Mm-hmm.
It's got these containers
like
and containers.
Whiteboard is a container.
I guess I was thinking about more, like, the notebook, the binder, and the drawer are all ways that you can store hundreds of papers.
Maybe those are the card catalogs? Different.
Card catalog
is a different,
yeah,
system. Different textuality.
Toby, do you want to describe, like, refresh us on your...
Sure.
Yeah, where does that start?
It starts here.
One.
And then it goes to here,
I think.
Or there.
Yeah, this is the third page. So, from an academic paper, you can see links to other things, and see those on your workspace or in somewhere that's convenient for you. Then on physical printouts, you can select regions of interest with the highlighter and have the system print those. Then you can take those printouts and rearrange them and capture them if you want to save that arrangement and have it print out that arrangement. You could also collect from, like, the email board, the research gallery, or someone else's whiteboard, probably. Once it's all collected, you can do a presentation by referencing objects at various granularities that you want to bring up on a big screen for discussion, or also follow links and things.
So these objects are all basically like icons representing a deeper, like some other thing.
Representing a digital thing? Maybe?
Well, maybe not digital. I mean,
but yeah, I mean, there's definitely like, yeah, like one thing stands for another thing in the same way that a photo is like a capturing of some chunk of reality, right? Like it's some like space-time that's like captured in a thing which lets you get a sense for that space-time by looking at the photo, but then additionally captures, I guess, invisible things about the space-time, like the state of the system, or or the things that have been captured by previous photographs. So it's like every photograph not only captures the photons, but also captures some extra data. And then anytime you take a photo of a photo, you get all that data with it. You never lose any. So it's like, I guess, some sort of notion of losslessness.
And you were talking about using, like, real highlighters or, like, different pens or something to directly interact with this thing, and then somehow that, like, a tool that the system can then say, like, oh, I'll do something with that region, I'll make it an object, I'll...
Like, selecting a region or selecting a sub-object needs to be a primitive operation. And then, I guess capturing an arrangement is sort of the converse of that. It's like, selecting a region is like drilling down, selecting part of a whole, whereas arranging parts to make a new whole is like the other side of that.
How did the, I just, remind me how the like whiteboard to screen thing works? Or are you
by pointing at various objects on the whiteboard or various photographs, you can then bring up either an enlarged version or like an elaborated version, for example, a video from a poster image or whatever, or a live system state from a screenshot.
Yeah, I don't see the things on the whiteboard as icons in the sense of standing for something. I see them as excerpts, and that's also the case. Even if it's just like a still image from a video. That's just like an excerpt along the time dimension. You just kind of, and likewise, a snapshot from a running system is also just kind of an excerpt of this. There's a big state that was captured, and you're looking at kind of a subset of it. And so, I guess I see it less than an icon that stands for the big thing, rather than just kind of like looking at it through a pinhole at like a little subset of the big thing, a window view.
And it's sort of what we already have with the research gallery, because each of those labels is the email, but it's just in a convenient little excerpted view of it.
In that case, that means there's like some, there's a, there is in this case a virtual emails object somewhere, but
right, and the whole idea is that you could always get a, you never lose the email just because you've printed an excerpt of it. You always have the original, so it's lossless.
Something else that might not be on here is just is materialization, that you bring up a link as a projected thing, and then if you want, I want that to be real, it becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
There.
That's a
examples of the other way of starting with something physical and then scanning it or capturing it or somehow making a virtual thing out of it.
So like,
let's kind of like,
I guess, yeah, like, well, when I was thinking like when you photograph something, except generally when you photograph it, you want to print out immediately something, but you are sort of making a virtual.
Yeah, that's come up a lot when we talk about sort of programming dynamic things in the world, like you brought something in the on the clock over there that you could just draw something in whiteboard marker and then it could become a dynamic piece. Or it reminds me of Paula's simulation stuff where you have a little sculpture and then once the computer takes over its dynamics, it turns into a projection.
Yeah.
So, and it makes sense to me that the physical to virtual crossover would be most important when you actually want to encode something that is then lives on its own, that the computer controls its motions.
And I think it's interesting, I don't think that came up very much in our jam. We didn't do much of like draw something physical and then it becomes projected.
Well, and it came up the most, I think, and that seems like it expressed like a static dynamic spectrum, and your prototype, which you were trying to be more on the dynamic side of things, I think it came up more because, say, when you take a binder and there's a like a picture of some system and you point at it and you bring up the full system, there is, that's kind of like a mm-hmm. like you've got a physical picture turning into a virtual projection.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to me that that's where we'd see it the most.
Do we have a name for that? If virtual to physical is called materialization, is there a name for the other direction?
Virtualization? Is that too overloaded?
Or capture or something, yeah.
I tend to call it something like virtualization. Although, it's almost not quite the right word, because maybe we want to think of all of these things as being physical. Yeah, it's funny, it's the... Because materialization, you could think of as being the movement from taking something that is physical but not material and making it physical and material. And you could think of this as moving from physical and material to physical but not material. There's like two separate axes, potentially.
You mean because it the projection occupies space in the world,
it's just not...
You can't touch
it. It's not like it's going into like some hard drive somewhere.
Yeah.
It still exists in this continuum of physical objects, and it can interact with other physical objects.
Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe just even projection to ink or something like that.
You just call it dematerialization. Well, I was also thinking about like the origami thing, or like tagging physical objects with the source, which may be a virtual, like what exactly that is, the blueprint, the idea you go from blueprint to object and back from object to blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that's the thing I was thinking of that feels a little different than projected. I was also thinking it was interesting that for the times clock idea that you could either like put out a piece of paper or draw a thing in marker and it'd become projected, but you could also go back and make it from, be like, oh, that clock hand, like I want that to go back into a physical thing and you could print out as a physical thing or something.
Yeah. Because maybe you want to put some glitter on it or something.
So you need a physical canvas for that.
Glenn, do you want to review it?
Yeah. Before I do that, there's something I want to say about that. I think I lost it. But anyway, for my thing, I had three different things. One was this talking in a conversation with one or a few people to be able to speak a thing I was trying to reference and have like a little search interface, I guess, projected in the nearest space, which I had here on the floor. These three different pieces of paper represent three different things that I might want to search, being our library, our emails, because those are in our physical space, and just kind of like the internet at large or something. I wanted it so that you could do this as fast as you could in conversation, like at the speed of conversation, and not spend too much time on that. And then I'd imagine there'd be a physical token, some kind of thing either brought to you by a little robot, or you could go over to the printer and get it. This one also, I gave a tour yesterday, and I realized, like, with this woman, Willow, and kept going back and forth with references, and I was just like, I really wish I had captured this somehow, and a lot of it was on the research gallery computer, and I was wondering it'd be cool if I could have like a button there that just is like, add to receipt, and it just kind of keeps giving me receipts back, or it sort of gives me one receipt with all these things I keep adding to it as we're talking.
Yeah.
I guess if Sam Shepley's put trails on here.
That's a little bit.
Yeah, I guess, well, photographs are a way of us forming these connections. Or what were you pointing at?
Just adding to the binder.
Okay, yeah.
It's like you're working and you add to the thing.
Yeah.
Stuff in the binder and then...
Just
yeah,
the binder itself forms a trail.
Something I didn't say at the gym, but I said in my email, was that the presentation could be recorded. And so you'd get your spoken transcript interspersed with the media that was pulled up.
Yeah.
And come to think of it, like adding to a binder as a form of trail makes total sense because it's the trail is physical. The trail is it's a book. It's a binder.
Yeah,
it's
sitting up your page.
Yeah. It's not some ethereal, you know, invisible trail in a space. It's something very real.
Are you imagining the recorded presentation that you're talking about also kind of being relevant to conversations? To be able to record a conversation and then be able to create a trail video?
Yeah, you could do the same thing with, like, you're walking around the lab and having a conversation with someone and pulling up these references as you go. And that could be
useful. And it all gets captured somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Continuing on. Second one was, I didn't go very far with the picture of the kids playing with the laser painting and Serengeti. I think thinking about that like still photo as an object pointing to a video, as I'm thinking about it now, it's kind of interesting because I guess this is the slice, but then where does the like, is the movie virtual like? That live, I guess. But anyway, I was thinking having this drawer or binder that is kind of like a record, I guess, of people going through playing with the system. I've taken a bunch of photos that right now live on my phone, and none of y'all can see them unless I like print them out. So I printed a bunch out for this jam, I guess, and put them in that jar just so people can see them, but they also don't really. They don't have a lot like who's in these photos and what the date was and some of this metadata, I guess, that lives in them. Or if they're a pointer to the movie, then I can't really do anything at all right now. Which doesn't feel that great. But this was pointing at the notion that I think Toby brought up too, which is sort of enlarging this thing and making it going from just like a small picture that you know, like a couple of people could look at to a thing you could do in a bigger group presentation to a thing you could potentially do a very large scale presentation. But I think ideally, like, it started with, you know, this is a picture that I can look at for me, and it's just sort of meant to be like a little record of what's happened in this space. And it wasn't initially used as, I'm going to present this to everyone. Like, it was just a take a movie, take a picture just for us for this moment. And the last thing was, I guess capturing has sort of been smaller. The last thing was really simple. I just keep a notebook right now of a bunch of icons, I guess, as I've been thinking of them, which is just the first page of a web page that I've printed out. The web page is how I've been documenting a lot of the projects that I do, and so it feels great to keep them in a notebook, but just being able to get to the virtual one from that page, even that would be great, let alone all the stuff you could actually do if it wasn't capturing the screen. So I was imagining like some kind of tool or something that would just be like, take this, recognize this object, this page in my notebook, and bring it up on the nearest screen, whatever a screen is. It could be like a blank piece of paper, or it could be a laptop. Like a laptop can easily be an app object in the system. I like that idea too. When you start to think about like loose coupling, that feels like a very obvious loose coupling kind of thing to me. That you don't want to just say like hard code, like only open on Glenn's screen, and someone else goes over there and like scans it or whatever, and my screen changes. It'd be kind of ridiculous.
And that was actually something that was coming up a lot when I was thinking about new ways of implementing some of the stuff in here is just using physical proximity and the you know, the mole tank listens to the start button that's closest to it, you know, the closest start button, or your the laser socks arena talks to the progress bar that's closest to it, like, like, you know, tell the closest progress bar got hit, and that way there's not even any kind of like explicit link between them. It's just like they're closer to each other, and so it just works because they're next to each other.
I don't want to get stuck on that, but I do have a question about that, which is something I've always wondered in these systems. Like, how does it know what the nearest, like, did you have any ideas, rather, I should say, about how it knows, like, what the nearest progress bar is or something? It's probably not, like, a name or something.
How it knows it's a progress bar, or how it knows it's nearest?
How it knows the progress bar.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, so I'll get into that later, but there's, you're defining classes, and then there's a way to interpret things as of being of certain classes. But yeah, I think that's the proximity thing, and like the nearest thing to me is, I think that'd be super important for being able to kind of do this, these physical things of taking objects and putting them together and having stuff happen. Without kind of setting up like explicit links and plugging things into each other.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of the basic physical properties of how we deal with things, like, is it close, is it far away, like...
Sequencing spatial to... Like, we lay out the papers so that, like, we put the same project close to each other, but then also there's sequencing that we do spatially.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, what was it? Toys had the sequence containers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we create these frameworks for then spatially interpreting the parts. So the grid or the sequence.
Well, even the page itself is a sequence of letters and a sequence of paragraphs. And for any given set arrangement of objects, there's some expected path through it.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what Heinz was. I wish he actually wrote what it did. in his email, not just had the pictures, but
I remember a check mark coming up at some point.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the check mark was?
There's two check marks.
I went through the whole thing and I can give the rundown if you want.
Oh sure.
Oh yeah. Great.
Let's do it.
If you figure out what order it's in.
Yeah.
I think that's first.
This is probably first.
I had to figure it out. So he opens the notebook. This is not first.
Oh, it goes vertically. They're columns.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that is first.
No. This is the.
I remember this place.
I think there may be.
No, he has to open the notebook.
No, I'm pretty sure that was.
No, but this is the simulation at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There are two parts to it. The first part is like just sort of his memories,
yeah,
which is like this one, though it's still missing some initial stuff.
I swear it started with that.
So, well, whatever.
The way that it went was that he opens the notebook and then. There's a little index card that has a calendar gets projected on it. So as he flips through, he knows what date the pages are from. And then he gets to a page where he wants more information than the date, so he puts a blank piece of paper down and it projects the photos that were taken from that trip to the Berkeley Adventure Playground.
But he also played back some audio.
Then he can scrub on the audio recording to play it. Then he points at a date on the calendar and he wants to find the part of his notebook that corresponds to that, and so it says turn more pages on this side, so he turns and then finds the page and it says check mark. And then...
Are these just backwards?
And
sorry.
Then he finds a page in the notebook that's a drawing, a sketch of a simulation that he wants to make. And then he says the simulation just appears magically. I don't know exactly how it does that. And then... that simulation is like a projected thing, but then it says, oh, and also I need there to be a boat right here. So he takes the boat and he puts it there and it says check mark, and then more stuff, more simulation happens. And then he inspects an object with an index card and sees the code on it and then edits the code by hand and changes the behavior.
So one idea that he identified from what he was doing was this idea of the computer asking the person to do things for it, having to sort of back and forth, which I think is an interesting idea. It seems almost related to, you know, when you take the printout of the article and you lay it in that spot, you are sort of, it seems like a similar kind of act.
How would you sum that up in, like, prompting or guided something?
Yeah, the problem is
like prompted actuation or some stupid phrase like that. But
yeah,
a lot of it was
like
mechanical Turk.
It's
in the old sense.
Prompted human action or something.
But the computer is like has an idea of the sequence of these pages, what's on these pages, like, there is an interpretation it has. It sort of knows what's in your notebook. That's also kind of an idea that's just hiding in there.
Yeah. Yeah, because it needs to know more about what's in the notebook than you can see or it can see directly. Which does deviate a little bit from.
Well, I was just thinking also about Robert's video binder. And if we want to keep doing things like that, then yeah, stuff like that would be helpful. And adding on annotations and this, like, I'm like side page view is kind of interesting too. Like, he kind of has it here, like metadata or something. Or this is a link. Stuff in here is links to all this other stuff that he wants to associate it with, images and videos and audio and simulations and stuff.
Maybe just one simple thing here is just kind of coordination or correlation between multiple objects. He's pointing at the calendar and stuff is happening
in
here. He's pointing here and stuff is happening over here. That seems to come up in a few places.
It's related to this stuff too. Like, there, something happens there.
Action at a distance. Or,
that's something I do wonder about. Like, I drew that little purple trail up there because I. And also this thing, the photo on the wall that plays the video, it like wasn't really working for some reason when I tried it the other day, and I was like, wow, I don't have any idea like where the problem is. Like, is this actually being communicated here? This is something I've been finding myself thinking about lately, is how to show objects interacting.
I was really impressed by how Arc to the animation of data flowing along the wires. I mean, having wires everywhere isn't great, but I feel like if you're going to have wires, it's pretty awesome to have them like tell you more about the speed of data flow in the system than just there's a wire there.
Something I found myself thinking about is how to show this behavior happening, like if you wanted to figure out like what is causing that thing to be right beyond there, like tracing that out is interesting. And doing it in a way that doesn't feel totally magical or something too. List feels a little abstract. I don't know if it's helpful that it's abstract or not helpful that it's abstract.
So the list was supposed to be an abstraction from the concrete stuff that we did.
I think so. But I wonder if is this going to be useful for us, or is it just enough that we've talked about it together, some of these things together?
I think it's useful.
Yeah.
I mean, if as long as we remember the reference, as long as we remember what each of those is referring to. If only for each of those, we could like select one of these and highlight her and have it print out and then like collage it together.
Right, and then we can make Toby's collections of whiteboards. It's like these as headers and then examples.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we could go from here and here to more concrete things even than we've gotten to. But it'd be a good idea to have a more granular genome based on this stuff. I'm interested in like trying to drill down a little bit on this stuff, but I don't think that's in this, we necessarily have to do that.
What do you have in mind? Like, what are some examples of what you're thinking?
Probably like implement parts of Heim's thing or parts of Toby's thing. Or like start thinking about how we would implement it, just like we did the programming jam thing, and try and work backwards from there. Like, we're gonna need like a buttload of printers or something, or photo printers, or all of these things. We'll need cameras, and okay, how are we gonna make sure that this is a blank piece of paper that knows where it is, and all this, that stuff.
Yeah.
I can imagine this is more fuel for that kind of process.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that stuff. I think there's a lot to be figured out there.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about trying to, as I mentioned, try to prototype my thing more.
You mean as an actual, like,
quote-unquote
working sort of prototype?
Yeah. And I was thinking about just using that little gum stick barcode reader
as the input device. And then doing things like, oh, if I want to display to a screen, the screen has a little barcode on it, and I scan the screen, and then I can scan any barcode of a media, and then it shows up on the screen. Or if I, like, I have a list of the different actions in mind. Print, follow, find source of a clipping, follow links, display on a screen, annotate, make a link, highlight. Yeah, I don't know, I have to figure out a way to do all those different parts, I guess.
Yeah, Glenn, you're talking about sort of drilling down and sort of implementation. Like, here's something we want to do. How do we implement this using kind of plausible primitives? I can imagine if over the next week or two we get more clarity around the foundations of what an object system might look like, then having a jam or some other kind of inquiry around that kind of process of breaking things down into the primitives, I imagine that could be an interesting way to kind of test a prospective idea for an object model. Like, here's our sense of what objects are and how they're going to interact. Okay, now let's take something that we might want to do, see, can we express it using this object model, and maybe see where the limits of the object model are, or figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I picture that fitting in.
Makes sense,
essentially.
I was also thinking about, like, very concretely, like, it is nice that, I mean, it's not a necessary step, but I think it would feel good if these things could be made automatically. Like, you print them on the printer, throw them in the laser printer, they get automatically, like, cut out nicely or whatever. I can imagine that being one, or, like, the same thing with photos. That might be a thing that would be really nice to be able to just, like, do is print out arbitrarily sized things, potentially even, like, things with thickness or...
Yeah, I would love to have
that. That's why, like, at the offsite or a time ago, I was talking about more automatic fabrication.
Yeah.
That, like, instead of just relying on moving material around by hand, we could... Like, even just one thing I was thinking here is, like, you want to prototype the thing you made and you're going to use barcodes that print out on the printer because, well, if you use ARFIDS, you have to, like, manually, like,
mm-hmm.
rip off the sticker and put it in. But then it's like, why, like, does it have to be that way? Like, can we actually build a machine that prints out a piece of paper and automatically sticks an ARFID on the back of it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's at least worth thinking about, like, how could you design kind of some sort of system that allows for these multi-step fabrication processes to be done automatically instead of just, you know, of just, like, assuming we either have to do it by hand or, you know, we're going to use more codes or something.
For me, that...
Maybe that's, like, a few years down the road.
Like, it might be worth thinking about something that just came up to me, like, the phrase, the laser cutter could be an object in the system. I was like, okay, what would that mean? I don't really know, but that was totally new. But, like, it makes me think of it as a different kind of object now. It's not just, like, this weird object that sits over there on its own. It's now a thing that can be used in lots of different processes, especially
think,
if there's a good
yeah,
interface
it
for
would
it.
Be. In the same way, every camera will be an object in the system, and you could point directly at the camera and get the image off it if that's what you really want, but also, like, it's also kind of part of this much larger structure that's using it in this higher-level way. You can imagine the laser cutter would be the same thing. You can, like, you know, through the system, send an image to that laser cutter and it'll do that thing, but also it could be used by other higher level objects in higher level ways as part of some sort of more assembly line process.
Hmm. Like, you could print out, like, a thing on paper and then scan it as you're putting it into the laser cutter, and then it knows what you want to print out on that container or something.
But yeah, absolutely, we should be expecting all of our devices to be objects in the system. And be addressable in the way the piece of paper is, and the wall is.
Addressable, like
just that.
It's like a thing.
It's, yeah, it's an object. You can send messages to it. Other objects can see it.
Okay.
You can write behavior that runs on it.
Maybe that's enough for now.
I think this was a good
higher level. I think we've got a little bit out of it. Like, coalescing a little bit of these things might be helpful. It's also just interesting that. Do you think we should have done it the day after? Do you think that would have been helpful? Because I remember, like, at the time, it was just like, oh, there's, like, stuff happening that's, like, the same things. And now it feels a little bit like. Wait, what was that thought? Like, why did I think that?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if
I
have to be
I think the day after is a good time to do something like that.
Okay. That might be helpful to remember in the future.
Yeah, so maybe the expectation should be, like, when we have a jam, you should document data for early next day so that we can have a quick discussion cycle.
Yeah, or maybe we could document after, too.
Well, I think this is really nice to have it laid out like
that.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. Right, we'll see what happens in the next jam, I guess. We can always see if, like, it needs another session or if it just speaks for itself.
Well, then, if the next one's the unflattening jam, then we won't be able to do that because our stuff won't be flat. We'll have to, like, do sphere packing.
What was the unflattening jam?
What was
the unflattening jam exactly? Is it just like that phrase and that's it? Or is there more references?
Most of the things we've been making are with flat. Like, they're very flat thinking, so the idea is like the theme is not flat.
Yeah, I was feeling like especially in this jam, we're working with old representations in new containers. So it's still like photos and hand drawings and text and all these kind of like things that are made for paper, but now we can magic paper it. And so I want to kind of see if we can get away from that, and if we have a system for working in the world, we could be using three-dimensional objects or using new forms of representation that don't fit on paper. Or just doing something other than reading flat, reading text on paper, which is, it's kind of the old way of working, but now you can, like, rearrange things more efficiently. Probably do better than that.
Yeah. So there's a few factors from this. One is flat versus three-dimensional. Another is dealing with static materials and media versus dealing with dynamic materials and media. I guess the latter one has more of an intuitive draw for me. The flat versus 3D, it still sort of makes so much sense to me that flat things are this really efficient way to process information, whatever information might be. It's just a map someone's your eyeball.
That might be a good reason to have a jam of it,
yeah,
right? Like,
absolutely.
It's hard to think about, so we should spend some time thinking about it.
Yeah. Maybe we could get in the habit of thinking, of like having that in our mind as a set of possibilities as we do future jams. It'd be nice to make sure that we all have the experience of playing with 3D representations. That's a good point.
There was something that Joe Edelman said to me um, a few few months ago. He kind of sent me this email out of the blue. I think he was like feeling depressed or poetic or something like that. He made this kind of like satirical chronicle of my career, and I think he was Joe Edelman.
Oh, okay.
And I think he was referring to this point in time when he said, like, Brett was on a journey to get rid of screens, but instead he just made them bigger. So,
yeah.
It's kind of stuck with me a little bit, like. Still screens, just on the wall.
Or make more screens.
Right.
Like with blank pieces of paper.
Like, I have all the screens. So I think, I mean, to the extent that we're, doing stuff with your hands and being intimate with the material and doing all that, that's really great. That's like, that's a huge affordance that you can't do with like, dragging a mouse around on a screen or on a touch screen. I think there's room for getting away from these flat representations.
Yeah. Did you see what I put on the table?
Yeah.
Nope.
For the audio recording, we should record for posterity.
Yeah.
Let us place the toilet paper roll. The table has a shining symbol of the possibilities inherent in the three-dimensional world.
That's a good place to end.
Yep.
Okay.